This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Ring the bell. It's Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. One Bills Live is the program. Glad to have you with us as we inch closer to a Week 4 matchup with the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore, where the forecast is relatively unchanged. Rain and lots of it expected on Sunday as Hurricane Ian has crossed the peninsula of Florida. It is kind of inching its way up the eastern seaboard there, and by the end of the week could be impacting the Baltimore, D.C. area with potent amounts of rain. And we'll have to see how much it impacts the game on Sunday. As for the second straight week, the Bills could be in a game where the weather conditions are a factor. We'll see. It's a turf field, so... Or no, it's a grass field. I keep getting crossed up on this.
Yeah,
it's a grass field.
Completely whacked.
I got to whack myself over the head and just say, it's a grass field, it's a grass field, it's a grass field. Say it 25 times over to get it right. Grass field. Steve is concerned that the tarp is not waterproof. Down there in Baltimore.
It's going to be.
You have no faith in tarps.
It's going to be a cruddy day. It's just, you know, come on. Give us, you know.
Last year, the Bills had a lot of home games with precip.
And road games, too.
And a couple of road games. They have the lightning delay in Kansas City last year.
Yeah,
remember that?
Exactly.
50-minute lightning delay.
Same thing in Tennessee. The field was sloppy in Tennessee, which led to the win for the Titans in the last fourth down play. It was one thing after another. We're like the team seems to be like Charlie Brown character Pigpen, where he has that he has the dust that cloud that follows him around because he's filthy.
Well, that's Charlie Brown has the rain cloud following him.
That's it. That's what it is. It's the rain cloud that follows him around wherever they go. The weather. It's like seriously.
Is that a Pigpen reference?
You're going to Baltimore, Maryland. All of a sudden, oh no! You know what? We're going to throw a hurricane in the mix. Yeah, right.
Or remnants thereof.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be.
Even worse.
I would not anticipate it.
You would want it, if you're going to be totally honest with it, you'd want it to be a full-fledged hurricane, because then they'd play the thing in Minneapolis, like Tampa Bay and Kansas City are doing. You'd put their game in Indianapolis.
I don't think they haven't officially moved it yet, though. I think
Tampa Bay's kind of pitching to keep it.
Yeah.
The mayor is.
Which is strange.
What are you
because
doing? You got too much going on.
Exactly,
down there,
that's
man.
What I mean.
You got
like,
things you got. There, you got important things.
That's what I'm saying. Like we know here in Orchard Park, they use the Erie County Sheriffs for traffic control and those kind of things.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that the municipality of Tampa Bay is going to have the manpower to offer a football game to run traffic control around the Buccaneers Stadium.
I mean,
right?
I don't know what it's now. Tampa's
they're going to be a little busy with other stuff.
Tampa's north of where it hit. Not that far, but north. And it isn't, Don't you? Doesn't like here? Don't we all like pitch in when we get like a Snowvember?
Yeah.
Don't we all like look out for each other? Don't we all like check in on our neighbors? Don't we all like understand that, you know what? I can't, you know, the fire department's busier with other stuff than my cat in the tree kind of thing. Mm-hmm. All of that. And yet Tampa Bay is like, I know you guys got hit with a Cat 5 hurricane, like
with a 12-foot storm surge.
Right. I got all that. But you know what? We got a game that we got to get on. Yeah. So we're gonna need our police officers and our EMTs, and like, we're gonna have them up here.
That's a little tone deaf to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it won't. I mean, maybe
millions of people without power. Who's gonna be able to watch the game?
Who's gonna want to go to the game? I got my house that doesn't have a roof.
Right? Or my first floor is underwater.
Or at least it was underwater.
Yeah.
My pristine house and yard look like the aftermath of a Bills playoff game in the parking lot. That's what my front yard looks like. I don't really want to go. I really don't want to go to the game.
Did you see the footage? Did you see the footage? This guy is filming from his house. He's in his house. He hunkered down. A lot of flooding in his area. Not a ton of damage, but a lot of flooding.
Right.
He's shooting his video off his phone of his neighbors across the street. And they're swimming in their front yard because there's so much water. They got their inflatables, and they're just floating around swimming after the storm has passed through. This guy's shooting them with his cell phone video, and he goes, look at my, I can't even say it, look at my idiot neighbors. They're out there swimming. We got gators out here, and they're swimming in the front yard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he goes, there's alligators all over this place. And they're out there swimming. He's like, I got dumb neighbors. And I'm like, I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah.
Because you saw the video of the shark swimming in Myers.
That video seems to serve. Videos like that seem to surface every time there's
water in the
streets. Oh,
it's not from yesterday necessarily?
It may be. I'm not going to call it out. But
you're suspect.
I suspect that it perhaps was of a different
filmed
incident.
Filmed at an earlier
nevertheless, that shark was swimming in some street somewhere.
Yeah.
And I, you know this, too. There are gators out there. I mean, you go to Florida, you see them.
Oh, they're there.
Yeah.
Plenty of them.
It's like their state animal. Aside from pythons that are out of the way. You know what I mean?
Those are illegally released.
I am not going. And listen, it's flood water. It's not bath water. It's not pool water. It's flood water.
It's a confluence.
That's
of God
a step
knows
above
what.
Raw sewage, yeah. Barely.
Yeah. So I found that one humorous. Yeah. He's yelling at his neighbors. He's mad. His neighbors are dumb in his estimation.
His property value. What are your neighbors like?
There was good entertainment value in that 40-second video. It was pretty good. And then you got the Weather Channel people.
Listen,
they're out of their head. I mean, I know you want to be on the front line of the storm.
That's entertainment.
Jim Cantore got hit by a palm tree branch. You got his colleague Stephanie Abrams. She's got a batting helmet on.
Yeah,
out there, it's just like if you got to wear a batting helmet to the scene.
I get it.
That's
a little
probably
of it,
not where you want to be.
There's a little showmanship in that. You don't need to see a guy standing out there. You just have him on voiceover inside. You know what I mean? They could be in the hotel looking and have the camera shooting outside. But it's sensational to have him out there. You can see the wind affecting him. I get that. And I know this too. And I said it. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, you got to know people are going to die because of this. I mean, it's bad. This thing took forever to get across the state.
It was a slow
move. 8 miles per hour?
Yeah.
You could almost, jog and keep up with it.
Yeah. I don't know what you want to, though.
Right. If you get in the eye, you just
stay in the eye all the way across.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And then now it's going to go off the east coast of Florida into the warm waters of the South Atlantic. gain momentum again, and they said it may get back into hurricane form before it hits South Carolina.
Yeah, not good. And Charleston is so low-lying as a harbor, the whole thing will be underwater. Oh, it'll be all underwater.
It's bad. It's gonna, and so now, and you know, it just makes you wonder, what, you know, seriously, Tampa Bay, you really want to have the Bucs play this weekend?
That's what they said. Apparently, they tweeted it out on their Twitter handle. We'll play our Week 4 matchup at Raymond James Stadium as originally scheduled. Prayer hands. Right. Well, thanks for the prayer hands emoji. Is that tone
like
deaf?
Like, that's really that
Is
like,
that a little tone
come
deaf?
Come on, man.
That's a little tone deaf, isn't it?
We in Buffalo have done that. We moved one of the games with the Jets over to Detroit.
That was
right.
Yeah, that was for Snowvember.
And we've had a game moved to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because of COVID. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
We've had games moved to Monday.
Yeah, the Chiefs game was moved to Monday.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know. The NFL seemingly gave them an alternative. They chose not to take it. So it is what it is. The powers that be make those decisions.
I don't know, man.
So
I don't know. Well, we're not done with it. That's for sure.
That's right. That's right.
We're not done with it.
And the Bills will probably see some remnants of it on Sunday at M&T Bank Stadium when they play the Ravens. Speaking of the Ravens, quarterback Lamar Jackson named AFC Offensive Player of the Month. No surprise there. Leads the league with 10 touchdown passes. Has also run for two touchdown passes. Leads the league in passer rating. His game has clearly taken another step from the passing perspective, and the Ravens are reaping the benefits. I'm going to be putting this in my six things to watch for in my weekend look-ahead column on BuffaloBills.com. This is not the Ravens offense you remember from a couple of years ago. It is far more varied and more big play-oriented. Steve, they've got 11 plays at 25 yards or more so far this season in three games.
Yeah, Lamar's got a 75-yard touchdown run. They've got four other guys who also have long runs, or three other, I guess, that have long runs, one of them for a touchdown.
So, Steve, I'll break it down for you. 11 plays of 25 yards or more in three games, including touchdowns of 25, 26, 55, 75, and 79 yards, which is the one our MSG viewers are looking at right now, the 79-yard run by Lamar against the Dolphins. Duvernay's a burner. Bateman runs in the 4-3s. Those are top two receivers. So what you remember about the Ravens the last time the Bills played them, which was, hey, let's run this three tight end offense and put the defense into a pickle because you want to come out and put linebackers on the field because we have three tight ends. Now we're going to throw it on at you because we got tight ends that can separate against linebackers. All right, you want to put athletic DBs on the field? Now we're going to pound you in the run game. Here comes our 300-pound fullback. Have fun with that.
Right. Now, and also,
it was a quandary.
I was reading this to you earlier.
They've morphed into this now.
They have 57% of their plays are either in 21 personnel or 22 personnel. That's different.
Yeah.
They play the personnel grouping.
So they'll still play big.
Yeah. And 12 personnel or 24% of the time. So
it's high number. League-wide, that's a high number.
90% of their plays are in 21, 22, or 12. Only 10% of their plays are in the formation or the personnel grouping that the Bills use 90% of the time. It's opposite.
Yeah.
Three wides, one.
Bills
one
are tight. 11 personnel. Team.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. And I saw this from Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis. Blitzing Lamar is apparently a bad idea. Last week against the Patriots defense pressured Lamar on early downs at a rate of 56%. Through the first three quarters of the game. So more than half the time they were sending pressures at him. It was the highest rate of any defense in the league so far this year. So they just decided we're going to blitz the snot out of Lamar.
Right.
Against the blitz last week, facing the Patriots, Lamar Jackson, are you ready? 11 of 12 passing and 4 touchdowns. And I tweeted this earlier before we came on the air. Lamar Jackson currently leads the league in passer rating against the blitz, 140.8. When he's not pressured, he leads the league in passer rating with a rating of 128.6. What are you supposed to do with this guy? That's not even talking about his running. We're just talking about his passing.
Right. Yeah. Listen, folks.
He's a handful,
As good as Josh has played this year, Lamar's right there with him.
You could argue he's better.
Yeah, he is having better a season than Josh is, and Josh is in the MVP conversation. Lamar's already won one. He is a thrower of the football, and he throws it really well. We keep saying it, and I haven't heard much feedback from our listeners or on social media and Bills Mafia or anything. This is going to be a heck of a game. This is going to be a really difficult game to go in there and win. They are 50 games over one loss record. They're 82 and 32.
Under Harbaugh.
82 and 32 in this stadium coming. We're going to go in there and play.
Almost a 72% winning percentage.
And they've got the best quarterback they've ever had playing for them on Sunday.
Yeah,
this is a really tough game.
Now, not for nothing, Josh Allen is second in the league in passer rating against the blitz with a 135.9 mark. So he's right behind Lamar.
Yeah, the thing, too, is Lamar's thrown it 88 times, just under 30 times a game in the first 3 weeks. He threw it 17 in week one, 18 in week three, and he threw it 30 times in week one, 29 times in week three, and 29 times in week two. They throw it 30 times a game, and that's right where their numbers are. Josh, of course, we know he had the huge game this last week, and he's thrown it 132 times for 9 TDs, 2 interceptions. Lamar has 10 TDs and 2 interceptions. And Lamar's got a couple of rushing touchdowns to boot.
Now, here's the interesting thing. In the last two times these teams have played, the divisional playoff in 2020 and then late in the season 2019, both defenses have held these guys under wraps. They've performed below their season averages.
Right.
I don't know if that's going to happen this time. It's like these guys and their respective games, their individual games, have reached a level where it is a week-in and week-out problem. I mean, these guys are not headaches. They're migraines.
Yeah.
For defenses. You know what I mean?
They're great players that are playing really well. Playing really well week in, week out. Lamar can't be blamed for the collapse they had in the fourth quarter against Miami. That wasn't him. That was a
they
secondary.
They didn't convert a key fourth down. Mm-hmm. That was a big turnover. I mean, that gave the ball back to Miami. That was probably the only thing you can point to for Lamar and company.
Yeah, that was a young secondary that got decimated as well. And they just couldn't hold up. They blew a couple of coverages, and Tua saw it. Yeah, Lamar's – it's hard, man.
They're going plinkety-plink, boom, down the field.
They are, yeah. And if you stop the plinkety-plink-plink, they go boom quick. They are big play capable. Duvernay is a really good player.
Bateman.
Bateman is having a really
first-round
nice
pick.
He's got some physical traits. Yeah.
And you're not even talking about Mark Andrews.
This game worries me.
Who's their leading receiver.
This game really worries me. What can I say?
I think it's going to be a very nip-and-tuck game. I think this is going to be a close game. And once again, the naysayers that knock the Bills for their record in close games, they might be coming out again because I think this is going to be a tight one. I really do.
Two
coaches who run their program the same way. They're off the same coaching tree of Andy Reid. They know each other very well. Their team's offensive schemes are somewhat similar. I mean, even Harbaugh said on Wednesday when he met the media in Baltimore, he goes, our offenses are strikingly similar in what we try to do.
Well, particularly, too, since they got those two unicorns playing quarterback.
Well, right.
81% of the plays run through Josh Allen for Buffalo and 87% or something like that run through Lamar for Baltimore. They got a guy that they're building around. Now, the Ravens run the ball significantly more than the Bills do.
Mm-hmm.
Significantly more. But that's the way they do it. Their personnel, they run it that way, and that's the way they're successful. Both teams coming into this 2-1. Both their losses coming to the same team in Miami. It'll be interesting. And both teams probably looking at each other, looking at themselves going, well,
how the heck do we?
How do we lose to those guys? Yeah. Right? A little bit, at least. So it's, but it's in Baltimore, in a rainstorm. I hate this game.
Yeah.
I hate this game.
Isn't it funny that when the Bills finally came up with a passing game that's virtually unstoppable, they can't stop running into weather games?
It,
like
we,
out of,
we had 15 years of the
like
drought, and you had sunny games in November, for crying out. Now you're getting hurricanes in September.
It's like Mother Nature's got it out for us.
I don't even want to think about it.
Let's go to the phones, though, at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, as we do want to hear from you today. Topic of discussion that we want to have with you, which will have a bigger impact on a Bills win over the Ravens Sunday. A, Bills offense returns to form. B, Bills defense stops Lamar and company. You let us know at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. But we lead off with Rich in Rochester. Rich, what do you got for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, guys. I worry about this game here, and I think that the weather is going to play a big factor in it. We're going to have to be able to run the ball. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, I tried to get through earlier in the week, and there's something that's really bothered me in that. The play before the safety in the end zone, the Bills had the player what looked like a safety, and when he fell down, his knee had to be in the end zone. And yet they put the ball at the half-yard line. And if he was going the other way, it wouldn't have been a touchdown. So I wanted to know why they didn't call that a safety then, and that would have given them 30 seconds more to have accomplished what they needed to on the other end.
So he's talking about Miami's third down play when they were backed up on
I can't remember exactly, but if his knee goes down, it's not where his knee goes down, it's where the ball is when his knee goes down. Now, if the ball was in the end zone when his knee went down, you're right, they missed it. Should have been a safety there. If the ball was outside the end zone, which is what they ruled, and his knee goes down, they spot it where the ball is. It's where the ball is, not where the knee is. But and you're right, it was very close. Very close.
Yeah, and it would have saved him 30 seconds. You're right about that.
He's
right. So, I don't think they missed it, but I only looked at it once live because I was already down on the field by that point.
I didn't have
the best look at it, I'll admit.
I saw a quick review, and I thought, they kind of got that right. I don't remember being outraged by that. I knew I was concerned about it. I thought, hey, did they miss that and stuff? And I think I got a quick replay from the television crew. When they went to the fourth down, they were going to punt. There was a little gap there. They showed a quick replay, and I think I don't remember being upset that was downed outside the end zone.
Gotcha. Okay, that's fair.
But that's all I remember about it. If I put it out of my mind, it's because I was not outraged.
Okay. We go to Tom on the west side next. What do you got for us, Tom?
Good morning, guys. I've been trying to get on all week, but I guess it's apropos that you answered my call on my birthday, so thank you.
Well, there you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. There's our gift to you.
Thanks. I'm not too worried about the offense, although I believe it's going to have to be a running game mostly. And we'll be all right. Josh can throw the ball in the rain. As long as it's not a downpour and it's supposed to be light rain, I hear. But anyway, I got to give my vote to the defense because I'm thinking with our injuries at cornerback, couldn't we throw an extra linebacker in there, albeit either Dobson or Bernard, and then we could move Taron Johnson back to play true corner?
Yeah, I don't know if your point is good. I don't know if Taron is your answer for that. He hasn't played outside and I can't remember
years.
The last time he played outside.
Probably rookie.
To the field or the boundary. I can't remember the last time he's played outside corner. He kind of came in and lined up in the slot and never moved. But your point is a valid one, Tom, because as Steve just pointed out at the top of the show, They play a ton of 12 and 21 personnel, which could afford you at least the option to occasionally go to a three linebacker look if you wanted to do that and it's a monsoon and you know they're running the ball.
Right. And it may entice them to go 11 personnel a little bit more.
The Ravens?
The Ravens. If they want to match up with your linebackers and go light when you go heavy, you know, you may get them trying to do something left-handed a little bit. They don't do it very much. Maybe they're not as good at it, that kind of thing. But then again, you're stuck with three linebackers against their 11 personnel. So good luck with that. Yeah, it's a chess game. It's going to continue to be that. It will be. I thought this too when I read those stats.
How did they strike you?
71% of their plays. 81% of their plays are out of two running back or two tight end personnel. That's a lot, and I don't know that might not be the one thing that gets the Bills to play something other than their nickel coverage.
I think we have to take the 12 personnel with a little bit of a grain of salt, Steve, and this is why. The second tight end, more often than not, is Isaiah Likely, their rookie, and he is not a tight end in the traditional sense. Yeah, he's not Mike Gesicki, but he's like a 6'2". He looks like an H-back. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Well, and so even though you got 12 personnel on the field, in a way, it's kind of a hybrid 11.
What about Patrick Ricard when he's on the field?
Well, that's different, and he's a fullback.
6'3",
and
that's the
21 personnel that you're looking at there. Yeah. That's different. That I'll give you. That is different. But the 12 personnel, I'm curious to know how many times it's Likely on the field. Because if Isaiah Likely's on the field, he's not a get in the line and block the snot out of people tight end.
Right.
Andrews can do that. We know that. He's a big dude. He can also run out and catch passes. But their 12 personnel is not your dad's 12 personnel, I guess, is what I'm saying when Likely's on the field.
But their personnel is a little bit tough to get a handle on. I don't know. Do you treat Patrick Ricard as a fullback, tight end, or running back?
To me, he's a fullback. Now, he can move, but...
He can move, and he caught a... Yeah, and he can line... you know he's big enough to line up anywhere they want him to, and...
To me, he's a fullback.
Yeah.
Do you feel differently?
No. I mean, I just...
He's versatile, but problem he's is, also 300 pounds. He's not outrunning anybody to the flat.
And it's not so much about how you label him, it's about where he lines up and who you're going to put on him if they...
True. You know,
if they line him up as a wing back, you treat him as a wing back, and then he slides back into the I formation or the offset I, and he's a running back in short yardage. So you got Lamar, Ricard, and Dobbins, all three of whom can carry the ball, and all they need is a half yard. That's hard to get ahead of.
Yeah,
you know.
I hear you. They do that on purpose. Greg Roman likes to put defenses in a bind. And that's why I think, to a great degree, Leslie Frazier chooses to stay in nickel so you don't have to get into all those games. He believes in Taron Johnson as a run support corner. And for the most part, he's come through for him. And I think that affords them the ability to stay in nickel as much as they do.
Yeah, the problem
is. We'll see if it changes this week.
Taron Johnson doesn't come up and take on
he's not taking on Ricard.
He takes on a D lineman. Well, he might have to if Greg Roman decides he wants that to be the matchup.
Yeah.
And you're in nickel. He'll just move Ricard around and find out where you're going to be, where your guy's going to be, and match him up. There you go. And you can't take him on low. It's illegal.
No, you got to run around him.
You run around him.
Run around him. Don't take him out.
Or try and stand up to him and get wiped. So
that's what I'm saying. Run around him.
It's a tough matchup.
Yeah,
it's a tough matchup.
Let's go back to the phones and to Jack in Kenmore. What do you got for us, Jack?
Okay, I want to ask Mr. Tasker, because he played the game with a guy like this, with Lamar Jackson, okay, that you spy him with, somebody the whole game, all right? You put one man on him the whole game, okay? And you force them to do something else that they're not comfortable with. And that's how you'll stop him. I'm sure Steve knows that. And the Bills will have the answer. Let's hope our defensive coordinator has the plan to stop him, because if you stop him from running, you cut his head off. okay, because he likes to run with the ball, okay? And that's what I'm asking Steve.
Well, yeah, Jack, you're right. I mean, that would work once in a while, but, you know, who are you going to spy him with, and what do you think that hasn't been tried like every single game of his career?
And I don't think a spy works on Lamar because he outruns angles. He's got 4.3 speed, and now you're taking somebody out of your coverage to spy him.
Yeah,
I think it's too costly.
They'll do it, no question. They're going to spy him once in a while, particularly in down and distances they want to. But, you know, to have somebody you think is just going to be able to stop Lamar by himself, by just having him as a responsibility, I think that's a little bit of a pipe dream. And every single team he's played his entire career has done that at times. And the guy's a unanimous MVP already, and he's in the running, if not the lead dog in the MVP conversation this year.
Yeah.
I get it, but you can say it and make it sound simple. It is not easy to do.
And the other reason why a spy is probably not smart against him now, maybe more than ever, is because he has advanced his game as a passer. Yeah. He is not just a running quarterback who can throw every once in a while.
So
this guy's throwing 30 times a game. He leads the league in touchdown passes. He leads the league in passer rating through 3 weeks. And that's a problem. And it's a problem that's big enough where you say, I can't afford to put a spy on him in case he runs because he's so deadly as a passer right now. I'd rather have that guy back in coverage running with somebody or covering an area of the field so we can get some hands in the passing
lanes. It's a numbers game because if you put a spy on Lamar and you rush four – or say you rush three, and you have one guy spying on him who's not rushing, just kind of watching. So you got a three-man rush all day against
anything.
An NFL offense with a guy who's throwing it really well.
Can't do it.
You'll never get any pressure, never get any sacks, and you know you got guys running free. He'll extend the play like nobody else. So that's a problem. If you rush four with a guy spying him, now you only got six guys. You can't really play zone behind that. So. I get it, Jack. You're right. They'll try it, and they'll do it once in a while to try and cross him up. But he's a tough guy to tackle and a tough guy to get to.
It's not an answer to turn to consistently, though. We have to take a break. This week's game sponsor is On Location. On Location, unparalleled access to exclusive Bills fans experiences. Field Yates, your ESPN fantasy football guru, coming up with his weekly lineup next here on One Bills Live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.